In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Plagues have plagued mankind ever since the fall into sin. There are biblical plagues, and such were the 10 plagues loosed upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt back in the time of Moses. Two of these are from our reading this evening. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the book of Revelation, they are said to bring plagues, pestilences. And Jesus also refers to pestilences as being signs of the last days, signs that the end is drawing near. There was the bubonic plague that is estimated to have killed 30 to 60% of Europe's population. And of course, lately we've had pretty regular worldwide plagues with bird flu, swine flu, and of course coronavirus or COVID-19. Once when King David sinned, the Lord gave him three options for punishment. Either 3 years of famine, 3 years of running from his enemies, or 3 days of a plague in the land. David chose the plague, and 70,000 men died. But he chose the plague by saying, "Please, let us fall into the Lord's hands, because his mercies are great, but don't let me fall into human hands." Presumably, famine would put him in the hands, and all the people in the hands of greedy men who would hoard possessions and lord it over others. And being chased by his enemies would put him at the mercy of men also, of course, but the plague, David reasoned, was a direct work of God, and therefore much more safe and much more liable to mercy because of who God is. And so when Aaron stretched his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh's magicians, the scripture says, tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." The Ten Commandments, we are told, were inscribed in two stone tablets by the finger of God. As a woman was about to be stoned for adultery, before he saved her, Jesus was writing with his finger on the ground. His finger is the literal finger of God. The finger of God is an expression. The finger points and directs, the finger instructs, the finger writes, as in the book of Daniel, you might remember, and the famous writing on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upsharim." The Lord instructs the priest in the book of Leviticus to dip his finger in the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkle it before the Lord in front of the veil of the temple and on the horns of the altar. And in a boast, King Solomon's son says, "My little finger is thicker than my father's thigh." In other words, he's boasting about what he can accomplish with his little finger. And he's bragging about his power. All these are different uses of the word finger in Scripture. And it's an interesting phrase that's used when the plagues are given. That these men, these magicians, who try by their arts, cannot reproduce something that is accomplished by the finger of God. So all these uses of the finger are appropriate to give meaning to the expression of the magicians. The most simple understanding of their remark is, God did this. God did this, therefore we can do nothing about it, like it, or against it. But there's also an imagery there. Maybe like the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, the finger of God, or God stretching out his arm to simply touch creation. And that touch causes a wonder. We know that God is upholding all things, but not all things indicate his breaking the usual order of things in order to give a sign. That's what's meant by, this is the finger of God. The pestilences, diseases, and pandemic viruses are all signs. The coronavirus is a sign. Not a sign that you should repent more than you used to. Signs are simply reassurances for us that God's word is true. They are reassurances that his plan is unfolding. They are assurances that our redemption is near. And our redemption was secured 2,000 years ago when the Son of Man came down from heaven. He was born of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Plagues and pestilences have come, and they are a sign of God's wrath on the sin and evil which has corrupted his creation. But the Son of Man has come to heal us. He has borne our diseases and carried our sorrows. We are the ones who deserve to suffer and die for our sins, but he has done nothing wrong. We deserve wrath. We deserve judgment for our failures. But Jesus, he does all things well. We deserve sickness and death. He has come to bring healing and life. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and yet by his wounds we are healed. Therefore, let us not be weighted down by the anxieties of this world, but let us be anxious to please God and serve him with our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which passes our understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with the Magnificat.